So today we are going to read from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 21, text 105 till 112. So the first few texts don't really have a meter, so I'll have to chant them. Please excuse me if I might not say it very nicely. But the translations are really beautiful. It's about the opulence and sweetness of Lord Krishna. So, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinda. So this is text 105. I'll just read the Sanskrit and then the translation, and then it'll go like that till 112. 112 luckily has a meter, so we can do the repeat on that one, and it should be on the board. Okay, so Bhushanera Bhushana Anga Tahe Lalita Tribanga Tahar Upar Brudhanu Nartana Terache Nitranta Bana Tara Dridha Sandhana Vindhe Radha Gopika Namana. So the translation of that text: ornaments that caress that body, but the transcendental body of Krishna is so beautiful that it beautifies the ornaments that he wears. Therefore, Krishna's body is said to be the ornaments of ornaments. Enhancing the wonderful beauty of Krishna is his three curved style of standing. Above all these beautiful features, Krishna's eyes dance and move obliquely, acting like arrows to pierce the minds of Srimati Radharani and the gopis. When the arrow succeeds in hitting its target, their minds become agitated. Text 106. Brahmandopari paravyoma tahans yesvarupa gana Tan sabara bale hare manam pativrata shiromani yare kahe vedavani akarshaye ise lakshmi gana. Translation: the beauty of Krishna's body is so attractive that it attracts not only the demigods and other living entities within this material world, but the personalities of the spiritual sky as well, including the Narayanas, who are expansions of Krishna's personality. The minds of the Narayanas are thus attracted by the beauty of Krishna's body. In addition, the goddesses of fortune, Lakshmis, who are the wives of the Narayanas, are the women described in the Vedas as the most chaste, are also attracted by the wonderful beauty of Krishna. Text 107. Chari Gopi Manorathe Man Mathera Mana Mathe Nama Dhare Madan Mohan Jini Panchasara Darpa Swayam Nava Kandarpa Rasa Kare Lanya Gopi Gana. Translation: favoring the gopis, Krishna rides on the chariots of their minds, and just to receive loving service from them, he attracts their minds just like Cupid. Therefore, he is also called Madan Mohan, the attractor of Cupid. Cupid has five arrows representing form, taste, smell, sound, and touch. Krishna is the owner of these five arrows, and with his Cupid-like beauty, he conquers the minds of the gopis, though they are very proud of their super excellent beauty. Becoming a new Cupid, Krishna attracts their mind and engages in the rasa dance. Text 108. Nija same sakha sange gogana charana range Vrindavane svachanda vihar yara venu dvani shuni sthavara jangama prani pulaka kampa ashru vahe dhara. Translation: when Lord Krishna wanders in the forest of Vrindavan with his friends on an equal level, there are innumerable cows grazing. This is another of the Lord's blissful enjoyments. When he plays on his flute, all living entities, including trees, plants, animals, and human beings, tremble and are saturated with jubilation. Tears flow constantly from their eyes. Text 109. Mukta hara bakapanti Indra dhanu pincha tati Pitambara vijuri sanchar Krishna nava jaladhar Jagat shashya upar Virashaye lilamrita dhar. Translation: Krishna wears a pearl necklace that appears like a chain of white ducks around his neck. The peacock feather in his hair appears like a rainbow, and his yellow garments appear like lightning in the sky. Krishna appears like a newly risen cloud, and the gopis appear like newly grown grains in the field. Constant rains of nectarian pastimes fall upon these newly grown grains, and it seems that the gopis are receiving beams of life from Krishna, exactly as grains receive life from the rains. Text 110. Madhurya Bhagavata Shara Vraje Kaila Parachara Taha Sukha Vyasera Nandana Sthane Sthane Bhagavate Varniyache Janaite Taha Suni Mate Bhaktagana. Translation: the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is full in all six opulences, including his attractive beauty, which engages him in conjugal love with the gopis. Such sweetness is the quintessence of his qualities. Shukadev Goswami, the son of Vyasadev, has described these pastimes of Krishna throughout Srimad Bhagavatam. Hearing the descriptions, the devotees become mad with love of God. Text 111. Kahite Krishnera Rase Shloka Pade Prema Veshe Preme Sanatana Hata Dhari Gopi Bhagya Krishna Guna Ye Karila Varnana Bhava Veshe Mathura Nagari. So, translation: just as the women of Mathura ecstatically describe the fortune of the gopis of Vrindavan and the transcendental qualities of Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described the different mellows of Krishna and became overwhelmed with ecstatic love. Grasping the hand of Sanatana Goswami, he recited the following verse. It is text 12. And this is in the meter of... yes, Brahma Samhita. So, if you can repeat after me... Gopyas tapa ki macharanya ramushya rupam.
Gopyas tapa ki macharanya ramushya rupam.
Lavanya sharam asamordvam ananya siddham.
Lavanya sharam asamordvam ananya siddham.
Drigbhi pibancha nusavabhinavam durapam. Ekanta dhamma yashasa shriya aishvarasya.
Ekanta dhamma yashasa shriya aishvarasya.
Gopas japa kim acharam yadamusha rupam.
Gopas japa kim acharam yadamusha rupam.
Lavanya saram asamordvam ananya siddham. Drigbhi pibancha nusavabhinavam durapam.
Drigbhi pibancha nusavabhinavam durapam.
Ekanta dhama yashasa shriya aishvarasya. Gopyastapa kimacharanya ramusya rupam. Lavanya sharam asamodva mananya siddham. Drigbhi pibanjanu savabhinavam durapam. Ekanta dhama yashasa shriya aishvarasya.
Gopyastapa kimachara acharanya tamushya rupam.
Gopyastapa kimacharanya tamushya rupam.
Lavanya saram asamortvam ananya siddham.
Lavanya saram asamortvam ananya siddham.
Dhiti lanti anusavabhivam. Vinavam durapam.
Drigbhi pibanjanu sava vinavam durapam.
Ekam tadama yashasya shriya aishvarasya.
Ekam tadama yashasya shriya aishvarasya. More privileges? Gopyastha pakim acharanya ramushya rupam.
Lavanya sharam asamortvam ananya siddham.
Lavanya sharam asamortvam ananya siddham. Drigbhi pibanjanu sava vinavam durapam. Ekanta dhamma yashasa shriya aishvarasya. Matajis? Come on. Gopyastapakim acharanya ramushya rupam.
Lavanya saram asamordvam ananya siddham.
Lavanya saram asamordvam ananya siddham.
Drigbhi pibanti anusavabhim hinavam durapam.
Drigbhi pibanti anusavabhim hinavam durapam. Ekanta dhamma yashasa shriya aishvarasya. Gopyastapa kimacharam yadamushya rupam. Lavanya sharam asamordvam ananya siddham. Drigbhi pibanjanu sava vinavam durapam. Ekanta dhamma yashasa shriya aishvarasya. Okay, thank you very much. So now word forward. Gopya, the gopis. Tapa, austerities. Kim, what? Acharan, performed. Yat, from which? Amusha, of such a one, Lord Krishna. Rupam, the form. Lavanya Sharam, the essence of loveliness. Asama Urdvam, not paralleled or surpassed. Ananya Siddham, not perfected by any other ornament. self-perfect.
Self-perfect.
Drigbhi,
by the eyes.
Pibanti,
they drink.
Anusava abhinavam,
constantly new.
Durapam,
difficult to obtain.
Ekanta dhamma,
the only abode.
Yasasa,
of fame.
Shriya,
of beauty.
Aishvarasya,
of opulence.
Translation. What austerities must the gopis have performed? With their eyes they always drink the nectar of the form of Lord Krishna, which is the essence of loveliness and is not to be equaled or surpassed. That loveliness is the only abode of beauty, fame and opulence. It is self-perfect, ever fresh and unique. So, if you can please repeat after me. What austerities must the gopis have performed? With their eyes they always drink the nectar of the form of Lord Krishna, which is the essence of loveliness and is not to be equaled or surpassed. That loveliness is the only abode of beauty, fame and opulence. It is self-perfect, ever fresh and unique. Purport. This verse is this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam 10:44-14 was spoken by the women of Mathura when they saw Krishna in the wrestling arena. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutvashin Devati Vanta Swamiti Vanta. Hare Krishna, thank you very much for giving me this wonderful opportunity to speak. I didn't really know what to speak about because these translations are just so beautiful, and every time I was reading it, it just reminded me of the Madhurashtakam, where it's always repeated how sweet Krishna is, how everything is so sweet. So I wanted to sing that, but that's a little long, so I decided not to. Instead, I wanted to read a few stories for you from the Krishna book. And there are two different chapters that I've... two different excerpts that I've chosen. One is the women of Mathura seeing Krishna for the first time. And another one, which is my personal favorite of Krishna, which is the different rasas seeing Krishna differently. Like when he goes into the arena, the wrestling arena in Mathura, then there are different people who are in different rasas who see Krishna very differently. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai. So the first excerpt that I'll start reading now. When the news spread that Krishna, Balaram and the coward boys were within Mathura city, all the inhabitants gathered, and the ladies and girls immediately went up to the roofs and the houses to see them. They had been awaiting the arrival of Krishna and Balaram with great anxiety. And in their extreme eagerness to see Krishna and Balaram, the ladies did not dress themselves properly. Some of them placed their dress in the wrong place. Some anointed their eyes on one side only, and some wore ankle bells only on one leg, or wore only one earring. Thus, in great haste, not even decorated properly, they came to see Krishna from the roofs. Some of them had been taking their lunch, but as soon as they heard that Krishna and Balaram were in the city, they left their eating and ran to the roof. Some of them were in the bathroom taking their baths, but without properly finishing their baths, they came to see Krishna and Balaram. Passing by very slowly and smiling, Lord Krishna immediately stole their hearts. He who is the husband of the goddess of fortune passed through the street like an elephant. For a very long time, the women of Mathura had heard about Krishna and Balaram and their uncommon characteristics, and they were very much attracted and eager to see them. Now when they actually saw Krishna and Balaram passing on the street and saw them sweetly smiling, the ladies' joy reached the point of ecstasy. When they actually saw them with their eyes, they took Krishna and Balaram within their hearts and began to embrace them to their fullest desire. Their hairs stood up in ecstasy. They had heard of Krishna, but they had never seen him, and now their longing was relieved. After going up on the roofs of the palaces of Mathura, the ladies began to shower flowers upon Krishna and Balaram. When the brothers were passing through the streets, all the brahmanas in the neighborhood also went out with sandalwood and flowers and respectfully welcomed them into the city. All the residents of Mathura began to talk among themselves about the elevated and pious activities of the people of Vrindavan. The residents of Mathura were surprised at the pious activities the coward men in Vrindavan must have performed in their previous lives to be able to see Krishna and Balaram daily as coward boys. So I just wanted to say something very small about this. I recently went to Vrindavan and Mayapur, and it was really beautiful, and the mood that you receive from the dham is always very sweet. But a friend of mine, she asked me what actually inspired me in Krishna consciousness, and why do I need to visit the dham for that reason? Why do I have to visit India or the holy places for that reason? And I was thinking about so many things, but all of them were kind of, you know, to do parikrama, to do this, to do that, and everything is very great, but you know, you have that here as well. Like in Radhadesh, you can, on Govardhan Puja, for example, you can do parikrama around Govardhan Shila, and you know, you can circumambulate them, you can, you know, fully be able to offer your respects to them. So what is so different about India, about Vrindavan and Mayapur? And what I felt was what inspired me so much is to see the devotion of the people, of the Vrindavan Vasis and Mayapur Vasis, that when they go to Srila Prabhupada, how much they look up to him, how much they respect him. And then when these ladies from Vrindavan, they come and they dance so nicely, you know, like Gurukulis have their own dance and they try to imitate the Vrindavan Vasis, but it's just a different flavor to it. They cover their head and they're like, even though they dance, it's really chaste and it's just really beautiful to see. And I told her that was my biggest inspiration to see the devotion of other people. And I wanted to ask you, because most of you have probably been to India. And I wanted to ask you if anybody had a really nice thing they would like to share. I'm sure Harpriya must have something really nice after being in India for such a long time. Or anybody else, if you have something nice to share, what inspired you, what inspires you from there?
Walking bare feet on the dust of Vrindavan is not a sweet.
Jaya. That's a nice one.
And now hearing the kirtan part.
So I'll repeat for those who didn't hear Jamashmi Prabhu. I don't know who was all connected to the microphone, but he said walking bare feet in the dust of Navadvip and Vrindavan and hearing the kirtan party. Who else? Madhugopal Prabhu?
Yeah, this is an old picture of me and my friends in Vrindavan. And my friend told me that just before the picture we were rolling in the dust. And then all these elderly ladies, they were laughing at us. You know, because they kind of understood what we were doing. So then also, like you just said, it also inspired me that these glasses are just very amazing.
How do I say that? Well, from Madhugopal Prabhu, it's about when he was rolling in the dust and the Vrindavan Vasis would look at him and smile. That inspired him as well a lot. I'm repeating this because yesterday I was sitting in the pastime room and I was listening to the lecture and somebody asked a question and my mother said, "Oh, that's a really nice question," and we're all outside going like, "What was the question?" So that's why I'm repeating it now so that everybody hears it as well. So anybody else have something nice to share? Tatvavik Prabhu?
The architecture of Krishna Balaram Temple, which pleased Prabhupada very much and was done by our Dutch
Okay, so the architecture of the Krishna Balaram temple that was also done by Surabhi, a Dutch devotee. Nice. I didn't know that. Wow. Anybody else? Ramananda Roy Prabhu?
One time I was in Holland and I was talking to the historian. You know, very much history of Belgium and Holland and all these countries. So in the end I asked him, which country you love the most? He said, India. I said, why? Because of the colors, he said. So I love India because of the sun and the colors.
Okay, so living in India because of the sun and the colors. That's true. Actually, in Mayapur, I was staying there for almost a month, and my favorite place to go at 5:30 p.m. was the Ganga, because you could see the perfect sunset. It was just like a really like golden circle, and it was just like really slowly going, gradually going down, and within like 10 minutes it was already set, but it was the most beautiful thing to see. And just a lot of devotees would come and they would chant their Gayatris or their japa or take bath at that time, and just everybody was just focused on looking at the sunset and focused on praying to the Lord, and that was very inspiring as well. Thank you, Ramananda Rai Prabhu. Shamananda Prabhu?
Yeah, and for me, I'm thinking it's, like, philosophically speaking, like, Radhadesha, any temple of Radha Krishna is non different from that. But there's a whole science how there is a distinction, actually, just to make a reference to Shiva Maharaj's new book. He did a whole, very extensive essay on Dham Tattva, because it's a very intricate science how to understand the difference and the non difference. Me personally, my most recent visit, I think in here, like in a temple that we created in the West, to a certain degree, our ability to reciprocate is dependent upon our level of our consciousness. From that consciousness, we must be completely not connected. And the Holy Dham, it's not so sensitive to my conscience. The place is still so saturated with everything that's just Krishna conscious that, okay, you get caught up in the thin layer of externality there. That's fortunate. You go a little deep, and everything around you, everything reminds you and penetrates you and makes you somehow want to be Krishna conscious. So it's just more saturated, even though you find there's a difference, but it's not so dependent on my consciousness there, but it is here.
Okay. So Shamananda Prabhu said very nicely that that even though that the Dham is never, you know, it's not different. Wherever Krishna is, there is the Dham. But still there is a difference that he read in Sukshuram Maharaj's book about the Dham and how much more saturated the Dham is actually when you go. Did I repeat that correctly?
And the level of consciousness.
And the level of consciousness as well. Mataji.
Well, for me, I experienced when I was living outside, then going to the Namaha where we started, it made the faith that I had in my heart a little more real. And coming with the devotees to visit Varadis once in a while made the faith actually more as a reality. And, you practice Krishna consciousness in a different society, like you were in Vanha, and then you have the faith which you try to make it real through reading and chanting and association. But when you come to a town like Varadis, then it makes things more real. And that is what was for me very important. And then when going to Vrindavan or to Mayapur, make things extra real because, you read about Vrindavan, you read about these old places, the Ghats and so on. But yeah, you have some understanding, you can imagine it, but when you see it, it makes things real. So this is to increase our desire to, that is my realization, to increase our desire to be constantly in such a real place and to be really with Krishna. So I think that is why we should constantly, desire to be in holy places or towns. So that is for my
Thank you.
Sorry about not
repeating the question. So this Mataji, she said that for her, going to the Dham actually makes it more real to practice and to see everything that she read about in the books. She said she read about. So I wanted to share a funny story. Two, actually. I hope I remember the second one after seeing the first one. I was in Germany for the Sangha Mela, for the New Year's, and I was talking with a friend of mine about how much I wanted to go to Vrindavan, and I really miss it, and this and that. And all of a sudden, from nowhere, this Mataji comes to me, and she's like, "How dare you say something like that? Don't you know that you live in Radhadesh Tham?" And she was like going on like this, and I was like, okay. She basically said that she's living outside of a community, outside of a Tham, and that for her coming to the Tham was such a big thing, and that she actually wishes so much to live in such a community. And so yeah, on the one hand, it's non-different, and on the other hand, it is a little bit. And the second funny story, I think. Yeah, when I was going to Mayapur from Delhi to Kolkata, it is approximately like 20 hours or more, I think. Right, the train ride, and I was reading Navadvip Dham Mahatmya. Yeah. And at one point, Shiva is talking to Parvati about the Dham and about Lord Chaitanya and why it's so important when he appeared. And at one point, who? Parvati? Shiva, Lord Shiva. Yeah. And so he was talking about this, and then he said about the difference of Mayapur and Vrindavan. And then he said that so Mayapur is more Madhurya Rasa, while you go to Vrindavan is more Madhurya Rasa, and then Mayapur is the other one. Adarya. Okay, I read very nicely, and So then he says that one who differentiates between the dhams, and then he reads out this whole punishment. So when I came to Mayapur, and every time you come from either Vrindavan to Mayapur, Mayapur to Vrindavan, you're always like lamenting that you're not in that dham or in that one. So me and my friend were always like, oh, I miss Vrindavan so much, but we shouldn't differentiate because then da da da. It's just kind of funny. But like, yeah, but then again, when what Lord Chaitanya also said, and what one of the Maharajas said in their classes during Mayapur was very nice. He said that wherever Lord Chaitanya is, there is a dham, there is Vrindavan, and therefore we need to bring Lord Chaitanya everywhere, and that's what Prabhupada did. And so that we can have this beautiful consciousness everywhere, and so that we can roll in the dust of the devotees who we know that is also, you know, part of the dham. Because wherever we have Lord Chaitanya, there we have Vrindavan, there we have Mayapur, and so we can fill up with colors as well and happiness and joy. Okay, so thank you very much for the wonderful realizations. I thought I would have too much time. Okay, I wanted to read something really nicely from Krishna book again. This is about the different people seeing Krishna differently. And it's related to the verse we read today about the Mathura, the women of Mathura who saw Krishna coming into the wrestling arena. So, when Krishna entered the wrestling arena with Balaram and their friends, he appeared differently to different people according to their different relationships, rasas, with him. Krishna is the reservoir of all pleasure and all kinds of rasas, both favorable and unfavorable. He appeared to the wrestlers exactly like a thunderbolt. To the people in general, he appeared as the most beautiful personality. To the females, he appeared to be the most attractive male, Cupid personified, and thus increased their lust. The coward men who were present there looked upon Krishna as their own kinsman coming from the same village of Vrindavan. The Kshatriya kings who are present saw him as the strongest ruler. To the parents of Krishna, Nanda and Yashoda, he appeared to be the most loving child. I think they mean Devaki and Vasudeva. Tecumseh, the king of the Bhoja dynasty, he appeared to be death personified. To the unintelligent, he appeared to be an incapable personality. To the yogis present, he appeared to be the supersoul. To the members of the Vishnu dynasty, he appeared to be the most celebrated descendant. Thus appreciated differently by different kinds of men present, Krishna entered the wrestling arena with Balaram and his coward boyfriends. He, having heard that Krishna had already killed the elephant Kuvalaya Pita, Kamsa knew beyond doubt that Krishna was formidable. He thus became very much afraid of him. Krishna and Balaram had long hands. They were beautifully dressed and they were attractive to all the people assembled there. They were dressed as if they were going to act on a dramatic stage, and they drew the attention of all the people. It's just a very nice pastime that I like very much. That's why I read it. Okay, and I would like to finish today's lecture with something, with like a conversation of Srila Prabhupada. So, Prabhupada said, so the description is that Govinda is very fond of playing on flute, Venum. Venum means flute. Venum quanantam aravinda dalayataksham. His eyes are just like lotus petals, very beautiful eyes. Venum quanantam aravindam dalayataksham barhavatamsam. And he likes the peacock feather on his head. So you will find Krishna always with a peacock feather. He wears a very valuable helmet on his head, but you will find one peacock feather. Barhavatam sam asitam buddha sundarangam. And his complexion of the body is blackish, just like new clouds. He is not that complexion light. He is blackish, Krishna. And he is so beautiful and all attractive. Here, of course, in this material world, blackish we don't like. We want fair complexion. But Krishna, the original person, he is blackish, but not blackish like this. Kandar Pakoti Kamaniya Vishesha Shobham. His beauty is surpassing many millions of cupids. You have heard the name of Cupid. He is a very enchanting person, loving person, but here it is described, Kandar Pakoti Kamaniya Vishesha Shobham. If you assemble millions of cupids in one place, still it cannot be compared with the beauty of Krishna. Krishna is so beautiful. Kandar Pakoti Kamaniya Vishesha Shobham. Venum Kvanantam, always playing on flute. Then he sings, if you know it, then you can sing with. Venum Kvanantam Aravinda Dalaya Taksham Barhavatam Samasitam Budasundarangam Kandar Pakoti Kamaniya Vishesha Shobham Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So just imagine the position of Krishna conscious person. Everyone is worshipping somebody. Somebody is worshipping his wife. Somebody is worshipping his husband, her husband. Somebody is worshipping the leader of the country. Somebody is worshipping something, something, something. And if anyone has nothing, then somebody is worshipping a dog or a cat. But we are worshipping the original person, Krishna. Just see our position. Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. We are not flattering ordinary things. We have captured the original. Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. And why not? He's so beautiful. Laughter. Kandar Pakoti Kamaniya Vishesha Shobham. And calling us by playing on his flute. Nice flute. When he was playing his flute, all the gopis, they would give up all their family duties, everything, and go off to Krishna. Krishna. Their fathers, their brothers, their husbands, who will call them, "Where are you going? It is the dead of the night." "No," they replied, "we are going to Krishna." So, that was something about Krishna's beauty. I think I'll end today's lecture. Any questions, comments, corrections? Yes, Rav.
Actually, when the Russia they were trying to forbid the Bhagavad Gita, I heard that everyone practically in India protested. I think I don't like very much about it.
That's nice. So when the Russians were going to ban the Bhagavad Gita, then everybody in India was protesting against it as well. That's really nice. Beautiful. Anybody else have a question, comments, corrections? So, Manupu.
So, in the verse, in the second line, the expression, Anani Siddham, you see how that was translated?
Ha. Let me check it.
Self-perfect.
Self-perfect, yeah. Okay.
I don't think that expression exists in Tajibu. I don't think that's an English expression at all. Self-perfect, self-perfect creates something to translate, describe Krishna's ornament of the ornament. There's no ornaments that can increase Krishna because he's already self-perfect in every aspect. The verse describes so much beauty. It's a very, I love that expression used elsewhere, self-perfect. Very unique to Krishna.
Okay. So Shyamananda Prabhu brought up a really nice point about Krishna being self-perfect. I actually, in regard to that point, it would be nice if we could read the text 105 in translation again. I really liked it. Yeah. Ornaments caress that body, but the transcendental body of Krishna is so beautiful that it beautifies the ornaments that he wears. That's basically self-perfect. He's more beautiful than the ornaments, and then he actually decorates the ornaments. Therefore, Krishna's body is said to be the ornament of ornaments. Enhancing the wonderful beauty of Krishna is his three-curved style of standing. That's in when you go to Mayapur and you see Madhava, Radha Madhava. Madhava is very, like, he's really standing in his Tripanga form, and it's just really beautiful and very graceful how he's standing. Above all these beautiful features, Krishna's eyes dance and move obliquely. Is that correct? Okay, obliquely. Acting like arrows to pierce the minds of Srimati Radharani and the gopis. When the arrow succeeds in hitting its target, their minds become agitated. It's just so beautiful. Thank you very much, Shamananda Prabhu. Anybody else have something nice to say? Or a comment or a correction? The letter. Okay. Well, thank you very much for giving the opportunity. I hope I said something nicely. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, and Vrindavan Dham and Mayapur Dham ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanandi. Radhesh Dham ki jai.